Radio Prague News.
Two Czech soldiers are among a group of international peace forces that have been circled by armed Bedouin fighters in Egypt. The Czech lower house has approved Croatia's EU accession treaty, and the opposition has criticized the government for complications in claiming EU funds. Two Czech soldiers are among a group of international peace forces that have been circled by armed Bedouin fighters on the Egyptian peninsula of Sinai. According to reports from Czech radio, the two Czechs are in contact with their native country's military headquarters. The Bedouin fighters, who have been circling the camp where the peace forces are stationed for 2 days, are demanding the release of 5 persons imprisoned on charges of terrorism. No crossfire has been opened yet, but soldiers are on increased alert and have heightened security measures. Aside from the two Czechs, hundreds of Colombian, American, and Uruguayan soldiers are currently trapped in the camp. The lower house of parliament on Thursday approved a draft of a treaty on Croatia's EU accession in the first reading. The draft is set to be discussed by the lower house's Foreign Affairs Committee before being put to the final vote. A majority of 3/5 is required for the ratification of the treaty by the Czech parliament and is expected to be reached. It then will have to be signed into law by Czech President Václav Klaus. All 27 members of the EU have to ratify Croatia's accession treaty prior to the country joining the Union. The opposition Social Democrats have slammed the fact that EU subsidies to the Czech Republic were suspended, labeling it an embarrassment for the country and a serious problem for the state budget as well as the municipal budgets. Party leader Bohuslav Sobotka and deputy leader Lubomír Zaorálek said at a news conference on Thursday that due to the suspension of EU subsidies, the government was forced to take greater austerity measures than had been planned. The government needed to make the process of applying for EU funds more transparent and take more responsibility, they added. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. Record temperatures are expected to hit the Czech Republic on the weekend. Meteorologists have forecast daytime highs of up to 20 degrees Celsius, a record from 1882 when 18.1 degrees were measured at Prague's Clementinum may well be broken on Friday. The warm and clear weather is expected to last until Sunday, when temperatures will drop to between 15 and 19 degrees Celsius and skies are expected to cloud over again. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, organizers have unveiled plans for the Czech Olympic House in the area of Islington in London, which should be a major hub during the upcoming Olympic Games. We'll also tell you about an upcoming vinyl release of a concert from the 1980s when Velvet Underground singer Nico performed illegally in communist Czechoslovakia. And that'll be followed by a fresh edition of Panorama. Stay tuned. Organizers have unveiled plans for the Czech Olympic House in the area of Islington in London, which will serve as a major hub for thousands of visitors, including sports fans, of course, during the upcoming Summer Olympics. The aim of the venue will not only be to meet Czech and other competitors, for example Usain Bolt, but also to present the Czech Republic in a modern light. The overall design was inspired by a famous abstract work by painter František Kupka, and the space itself will show works by contemporary Czech artists including David Černý, Michal Rittstein, and others. I spoke to the Czech Olympic Committee's Vice President for Finance and Marketing, Jiří Kejval, who told me more.
Of the Czech houses since 1992, so that's in Barcelona, so that's one of the first Czech house, but always the concept of the Czech houses, it was only for athletes and for the VIP, for the politicians, but not for the general public. And now we see the great challenge to change that, because London is around the corner, very close. So in London has been living a big Czech minority, so that we count that something like between 30 to 60,000 young Czech people, because that's a very traditional destination for the young Czechs. It's a great challenge also to do something for the spectators and fans of Czech team.
Where is the Czech Olympic House actually being located?
We found it's a very fancy location in the Islington. It's very close to King's Cross, so this, which is a very important train connection also between the Olympic Park and the downtown of the city. We found there is exhibition area, business design center on the upper street in Islington, and that's a perfect location. The building was built originally in 1860, and it was transformed to exhibition area in the 70s, and we think it's a perfect location, and we'd like to present the Czech Republic as a very modern country, to have a no artificial light, and we'd like to have there the projections, huge screens, so the biggest, in total 20 screens. The biggest one will have a 175 square meters, so that's which will be huge, and we'll project there the broadcasting of Czech TV, so this from the Olympics, but also will present the Czech culture, so this will present the Czech business, and we'd like to show very much the contemporary life and contemporary art and what the Czech Republic is.
My understanding is that there are well-known contemporary Czech artists, whether we're talking about David Černý or ad maker Ivan Zachariáš taking part. Could you tell me a little bit about their roles?
We like to show, you mentioned also Ivan Zachariáš, so this is the guy so that is not good just only in the Czech Republic, but he's famous worldwide. He will definitely be responsible for most of the visual art, and David Černý. So that's we are in a final negotiation with him about the art, and he's very famous, but also probably the most controversial Czech artist. So we hope it will be, the controversy will be in a good way, and he will attract the interest of the Londoners. And also, we've been finalizing the art with Michal Richtein, so that's, which is also very famous. So that we have, he's been preparing the collection of his paintings. And for us, it's very important, also the artist and sports, so the connection, because the connection, it comes really from the idea of Olympism.
And that was the Czech Olympic Committee's Vice President for Finance and Marketing, Jiří Kejval, talking to me about the plans for the fascinating Czech House or Czech Olympic House in the area of Islington in London, which is going to be a very popular place during the Olympic Games. I urge you to look it up on the internet. It has its very own website, or you can go to the Czech Olympic Committee's website for more information. Fascinating images there of what the final space will look like, and certainly many people already working hard on that. If you'd like to comment, or if you by chance will be visiting the Olympic Games in London this summer, write to us here at Radio Prague and let us know what you think. The address is english@radio.cz. Czechoslovakia's communist authorities kept a tight control of all aspects of life, including the arts and, of course, rock music. Only officially sanctioned artists were allowed to perform publicly or record albums. But then some people had the courage to defy the system and organize illegal concerts. Back in 1985, a group of rock fans in Brno staged an illegal concert by the legendary singer Niko, whose recording Only Now is about to be released on vinyl. Jan Richter has that story.
In what costume shall the poor girl wear to all tomorrow's parties?
The tune All Tomorrow's Parties, performed a cappella by Niko in a pub on the outskirts of Brno in October 1985. The concert was organized by a group of local rock fans under strict security measures to avoid the unwanted attention of the secret police. One of the people behind the unusual performance was Lenka Zogatova.
Don't
It was a shattering experience. For me personally, the fact that Nico came was more than if the Rolling Stones would have come. At that time, Nico was an idol for us.
Nico, a German-born singer and actress, was famous in the artistic underground in Czechoslovakia for her collaboration with the American band The Velvet Underground. Their music had a deep influence on the country's unofficial art scene and developed a devoted following.
She came with her band, not the Velvet Underground, of course. By that time, some illegal concerts had already taken place and Nico's manager had left-wing inclinations. So we got in touch with him and organized one show in Brno and another in Prague.
The singer with her entourage came to Brno from Hungary. There, the regime was more relaxed and the authorities had no problem with her public concerts. Ms. Zogatová recalls it was difficult to explain to the rocker why her Brno show was illegal.
The problem was that they played legally in Poland and Hungary, but the show here was illegal. We had to keep the concert and its venue secret because we didn't want the police to interfere. So we booked a pub on the city's outskirts, but at the same time we spread a rumor that it was going to take place somewhere else. I think the secret police only learned about it afterwards because in Prague they broke up the show. But in Brno they did not show up, or at least we didn't notice them. My heart is hit.
Some 300 people came to see Nico's Brno concert. Nearly 30 years later, the organizers have released a recording of the show in a limited vinyl edition. The record can be ordered in Prague's Recomando store or at the website recomando.eu.
And that was Jan Richter reporting fascinating stuff there, a concert, an illegal concert from the 1980s that was recorded and is now just about to be released on vinyl, a concert by the legendary Nico. Fascinating stuff. Now it's time, though, for our main feature this day, which is another edition of Panorama with Daniela Lazarova.
Gde to je?
Що? Не розумію.
A video spot made by the Association for Integration and Migration highlights the plight of foreign nationals working as domestic service providers, cleaners, maids and nannies. Approximately 27,000 women from former Soviet bloc countries in Asia are currently employed in menial positions in Czech households. Their poor grasp of the language and scant knowledge of their rights, as well as fear of deportation, make them easy targets of exploitation and maltreatment. Within a help and awareness campaign, the Association for Integration and Migration has launched a video spot going by the title Do You Know Who Cleans Your House?, in which a Ukrainian cleaner turns out to be a highly qualified, experienced math teacher. I spoke to Eva Valentová, one of the organizers of the campaign, about the problems involved and what the association is hoping to achieve.
We work for a long time with migrant women in the Czech Republic, and we see that this group is quite vulnerable as concerns fundamental rights and especially labor rights. And we know from our experience that most of women migrants that come to the Czech Republic, they pass through this experience of domestic work. And this field is completely not researched, or there is no official identification of the framework, what should be domestic work and what laws apply to this group. That's why we focus to identify this. And the campaign focuses mostly on the migrant women. in the sense that through our leaflets and video spot, we try to show them that they have their rights and also duties related to the domestic work, which is also a kind or type of employment or business.
But to launch this campaign, you must have received plenty of signals that they are not treated as they should be, that they're maltreated, exploited, possibly maybe even verbally abused.
The women that come to seek counseling to our offices, they mostly face the problems of unpaid wages or immediate dismissals, and especially most of them work illegally, and some of them stay without any residence permit in the Czech Republic, so which means that they fear removal from the country, etc.
But your spot conveys a different message, does it not?
Yeah, of course, but the spot is targeted to the Czech general public, especially the Czech employers, which are the families. So to show people, to make them think, I have a domestic worker at home, and actually I have no idea who is this woman and what kind of problems she could face, because Czech people, they don't have the same type of problems to deal with. So this is the main idea of the spot, to make people think about that domestic work is not as easy as it seems.
You're also getting across the message that in many cases these domestic helpers or service providers are highly educated and they happen to be doing manual work, but basically many of their employers treat them as simple-minded foreigners. Is that not the case?
Yeah, of course. Migrants are overqualified also in other economic sectors, but what is the message of the spot is mostly to show that domestic workers have rights to dignity, to good treatment, altogether with other labor rights. We want to show to employers that they could start from the easiest way possible, which is, for example, the good treatment of their domestic workers, and then maybe they could think further about their legal status, for example, or whether they have access to health care or social benefits and so on.
What foreign nationals are we talking about here? Presumably they're from non-EU member states.
Yeah, the campaign focuses only on the third country nationals, and most of them come from ex-Soviet Union countries, which means Ukraine and the Central Asia, briefly said.
And they probably don't have a very good grasp of the language when they start helping out in domestic service.
This is also one of the problems they face, the language barrier, even though the Russian-speaking people are very flexible and they can learn the language very easily. Now there is also a number of Philippine babysitters, for example, which is increasing significantly, and also, some Vietnamese provide these domestic services, so the language barrier is much more significant.
When you think about how Czechs treat them, because usually they'd be employed by Czechs mostly, would you say that there is racism involved, or basically that they're regarded as second rate in a way because they come from former Soviet bloc countries?
This is very difficult to say, because we have only knowledge from our workers, so we cannot be for the moment very objective. That's why I wouldn't like to put all Czech employers into one bag and say, they are racist. Of course, there are those cases of discrimination or racism, or I would say rather stereotypes towards ex-Soviet Union citizens.
You say that it's very hard for you to be objective because you've only heard the women's side of the story. Can you tell me on an anonymous basis what kind of complaints they come to you with?
Well, most of their problem is They even often don't know their rights and duties. So it concerns also the labor issues, for example, that they should have a work permit, or they could have a business also in this field of in this type of work, or questions concerning the healthcare, social benefits. They have no clue what they could do or what benefits they could take from their job. And this is very important to raise their awareness about this, because it may it will definitely empower them also towards their employers. So we don't want to say by the campaign that the employers are only maltreating their workers. This is not the message. The message is related more to labor rights and also to the empowerment of the women.
What is the fate of most of these women? Do they eventually, once they learn the language, go on to get a better job that better reflects their education, for instance, or do they simply spend a few years in this country, such as the Filipino maids that you mentioned, or babysitters, and basically take the money back home?
This very, very much. As you said, for example, there are certain groups like these Filipina women that came to the Czech Republic only to make some money and send it back to their families. But, for example, many ex-Soviet Union citizens, they would like to stay here. They came for work, of course, but with the vision that they would stay here and reside here for many years. But also not all of them. So this should be seen individually in each case.
Do you feel that it is more difficult for foreigners to integrate in the Czech Republic than, for instance, in West European countries? Because for many years, the country was relatively closed, so to speak, thanks to the communist regime. Now there are a lot more foreigners coming in. Do they have serious integration problems because of people's attitude to foreigners?
I personally think that the people's attitude doesn't help the migrants to integrate, because we have partners in other European countries, for example, Portugal, where the situation is completely different. And I would say they make more efforts to make migrants integrated, which is maybe related to the needs of the country itself, or also the general attitude of the public, because many of them were of Portuguese, for example, were emigrants. So they have also this experience in their families with how is it to live abroad. And sometimes, surprisingly, we forget that also Czech people had to emigrate, for example, and lots of them live abroad and had to face the problems how to integrate in foreign countries and get their decent life. So we could think about this also.
Do Czechs treat foreigners from different countries differently? Are they more ready to accept some than others?
Yeah, I think that thanks to our history, we treat maybe better Westerns and U.S. citizens, because it was our kind of example or type of paradise that where we would like to live. And, for example, the Soviet Union was our enemy, let's say. So also the nationals of these countries are not very well seen. And we have, I think we have lots of prejudices in our society or stereotypes regarding the several nationalities of people. So,
of course, it takes years to change that, generations. But have you tried, have you targeted any campaigns? Have you tried to change this in any way?
Well, for example, this campaign, it doesn't say explicitly, but it involves also the aspect of stereotypes that Ukrainian cleaner, she's just a cleaner, and finally we realized that she could be something more. So it's hidden also in our video.
Eva Valentova was Daniela Lazareva's guest in this week's Panorama. Don't forget to take part in discussion on the internet, in either Facebook or over Twitter, and to look up more stories and reports at our website, radio.cz. Speaking of which, while you visit our website, well, don't beware the Ides of March, although it's the 15th, look up a new monthly contest on our webpage if you'd like a chance to win a small prize from Radio Prague. All the details are available at our webpage, a new monthly quiz. So if you're interested in that kind of thing and you like finding out the secret identities of different people, famous Czechs, well, you'll probably want to take part. That's you'll find all the information there at our website, radio.cz. Now, though, we turn to our final portion of the program for this day, which is another edition of our language program, the ABC of Czech, with Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax.
We've come to the last farm animals episode in our language teaching program featuring Czech countryside idioms. The only important animals left are poultry.
Drůbež.
We'll start with the chickens. The generic word in Czech is
slepice,
which also means hen. The male is
kohout,
a cock or rooster, and the young is
kuře,
chick. Chickens are considered to be very stupid in Czech, and the word
slepice
or hen is a term of offense. Chickens are also known to go to bed early.
Chodit spát se slepicemi
means to go to bed with the chickens, to go to bed very early at sunset. If someone is looking miserable and lost, Czechs say
tváří se jako zmoklá slepice.
He or she looks like a rain-drenched hen.
Jako zmoklá slepice.
Roosters are known to be very territorial and competitive, hence the expression
dva kohouti na jednom smetišti.
Two roosters on one rubbish heap. It refers to any two competitive individuals, usually male, who find themselves working together or sharing the same space.
Dva kohouti na jednom smetišti.
Although chickens are not generally considered to be greedy fowls, there is one idiom which suggests it.
Zadarmo ani kuře nehrabe.
Not even a chicken pegs the ground for free. That's to say that nothing is free in this world, and nobody does anything just out of goodwill, not even chickens.
Zadarmo ani kuře nehrabe.
Staying with hens and money, if something is described as a hen which lays golden eggs,
slepice, která snáší zlatá vejce,
it is a very lucrative business, something which costs you little and earns you a lot, just like an ordinary hen laying golden eggs.
Slepice, která snáší zlatá vejce.
While a lot of people breed their own chickens in their backyards in this country, you are not likely to see as many ducks,
kachny,
and geese,
husy.
And there are markedly fewer duck and geese idioms in Czech as well. Still, we have picked a couple for you. As ducks are known to be able to digest almost anything, people who eat lots and don't suffer from indigestion are said to have the stomach of a duck.
Kachní žaludek.
A goose march,
husí pochod,
on the other hand, means people walking one right behind another. And that's all from us as far as farm animals are concerned. Next, we'll start a new series discussing idioms featuring wild animals. Until then,
naschledanou.
The ABC of Czech. And that's it for today's show. No, seriously, goodbye.